All right, everybody, welcome back to another deep dive with yours truly.
And me.
So glad to have you all with us today.
Absolutely.
We're going to be looking at a really interesting YouTube video today.
We are.
Called The Green Road to Serfdom. Have you heard of this one?
I have indeed. It's been making the rounds.
Yeah, it's been making the rounds. And it's got a very provocative argument, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely thought-provoking, to say the least.
Yeah, it suggests that the whole push to be green to combat climate change.
Yeah.
You know, which on the surface sounds like a good thing.
It sounds like a good cause.
It could actually lead us down a path to tyranny.
Mm.
A road to serfdom, if you will.
Interesting title.
Yeah, very interesting title. And I think that's deliberate, right?
Oh, for sure. It's playing on a very famous book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So before we get into the nitty-gritty of, you know, whether, you know, banning plastic straws is going to lead to some kind of eco dictatorship.
Right, exactly.
Maybe you can give us a little bit of context about where this video is coming from, like who made it, mm-hmm. and what their deal is.
Yeah, definitely. So this video comes from a YouTube channel called Mrs. Media.
Mises Media.
Yeah.
And they're connected to the Ludwig von Mises Institute.
The Ludwig von Mises Institute.
Now, if that name rings a bell, it's because they're big proponents of libertarianism and free market economics.
Okay, so they're coming at this from a very particular perspective, though.
Absolutely, very much so.
Okay, so not necessarily like climate scientists or, you know, environmental policy experts.
Not in the traditional sense, no.
Okay, interesting. So that's important to keep in mind as we kind of unpack their argument.
Definitely. It gives you context.
Yeah, context is everything, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you mentioned they're connected to this Ludwig von Mises Institute, and the video is called The Green Road to Serfdom. Is there a connection there?
Oh, there's a huge connection.
Mm-hmm.
The title is a direct reference to a book called The Road to Serfdom, written by Friedrich Hayek.
Okay, I've heard of Hayek.
Yeah, he was a very influential economist and political philosopher. And his book basically argued that any increase in government control, even if it's done with good intentions, inevitably leads to less freedom and eventually to some form of tyranny.
Wow. And this book was written way back in 1944, right?
That's right.
And they're saying that that same logic applies to the environmental movement today.
That's exactly their argument, that all these green policies are just another form of government overreach.
Wow. That's a pretty bold claim.
It is bold.
So how do they back that up? Like, what are some of the specific things they point to?
Well, they start by talking about how politicians are using climate change as a way to grab more power.
Okay, so they're saying it's not really about saving the planet. It's about control.
That's the gist of it, yeah.
Cynical much?
A little bit, yeah. But they do raise some valid points. Like, think about it. If governments can convince people that there's a global crisis, then they can justify taking more and more control in the name of solving that crisis.
Okay, I see where they're going with this.
Right, and they point to things like global carbon taxes as an example.
Ah, yes, the dreaded carbon tax.
Yeah, it's a controversial topic for sure.
I mean, on the one hand, you know, putting a price on carbon emissions could incentivize companies to pollute less.
Right, exactly.
But on the other hand, it gives a lot of power to whoever gets to set that price and decide how that money is spent.
Exactly. Who controls the carbon controls the world.
It's a slippery slope for sure.
It is. And the video really plays on that fear of government overreach, you know?
Yeah. And that fear is especially relevant here in our community. Right? I mean, we're surrounded by the energy industry in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena.
Absolutely. These are places where people's livelihoods are directly tied to fossil fuels.
Exactly. So any talk of, you know, banning fossil fuels or even just heavily taxing them, it hits close to home.
For sure. It's not just some abstract political debate for a lot of people. It's their jobs. It's their way of life.
Exactly. And the video argues that environmentalists are kind of pushing for that kind of radical change.
Yeah, they paint this picture of environmentalists wanting to control every aspect of our lives.
Really everything, like what do we eat? Yeah, what we eat, how we travel, how much energy we use, even how often we flush the toilet.
Okay, now that sounds a little extreme, even for me.
It does sound a bit over the top, doesn't it?
Yeah, like I'm all for, you know, being environmentally conscious, but I don't need the government telling me how many squares of toilet paper to use.
Right, exactly. Nobody wants to live in a world where every little choice is dictated by some eco-bureaucracy.
Agreed. But I do think it's important to acknowledge that there are some genuine concerns about government overreach in the name of environmentalism.
Absolutely. There's a fine line between, you know, promoting sustainability and becoming a nanny state.
Right. And I think that's what the video is trying to tap into, even if they do sometimes exaggerate things a bit.
Yeah, I think they're playing on that fear to make their point.
Okay, so they've talked about, you know, politicians grabbing power and environmentalists wanting to control our lives. What else do they bring up?
Well, then they shift gears a bit and talk about what they call the social costs of the green movement.
The social costs. Okay, what do they mean by that?
Basically, they're arguing that environmentalism promotes this view of humans as being harmful to the planet.
Oh, like we're a virus or something.
Exactly. And they say that this kind of thinking leads to nihilism and despair.
Nihilism and despair. Wow, that's a pretty heavy accusation.
It is. And I think it's important to unpack that a bit because it's a complex issue.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, there's no doubt that some environmental activists express a lot of pessimism about the future of the planet.
Yeah, you see that a lot online, especially.
Exactly. And some of the language they use can definitely come across as nihilistic, you know, like the whole humans are the problem kind of rhetoric.
Right. But is that really representative of the entire environmental movement?
That's the question, isn't it? I mean, it's a diverse movement with a wide range of perspectives.
Yeah, I mean, I know plenty of people who are passionate about the environment, but they're not like, you know, doom and gloom all the time.
Exactly. They're out there trying to make a positive difference, you know, planting trees, cleaning up beaches, advocating for sustainable policies.
Right, so it's not all doom and gloom.
Definitely not. And I think the video kind of ignores that side of things.
Yeah, they focus on the most extreme examples to make their point.
Like they talk about how some environmental activists have destroyed historical artifacts.
Really destroyed them? Why would they do that?
Well, their argument is that these artifacts represent human progress, which they see as inherently destructive.
So they're like anti-human progress.
In a way, yes, they see humanity's impact on the planet as something to be reversed or even atoned for.
Wow, that's pretty radical.
It is, and it's a minority view within the environmental movement, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I can see how that kind of thinking could lead to some pretty extreme actions.
Definitely, and the video also points to the growing number of people choosing not to have children because of climate anxiety.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
It's a real phenomenon, and it's definitely tied to the sense of hopelessness that some people feel about the future.
Yeah, like, why bring a child into a world that's supposedly doomed?
Exactly. But again, is that representative of the majority of people who care about the environment?
Probably not.
It's a complex issue with a lot of different factors at play.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that the video is presenting a very particular perspective on all of this.
Right. They're coming at it from a libertarian free market standpoint, so they're naturally going to be skeptical of any kind of government intervention, even if it's aimed at addressing climate change.
And, you know, I think it's interesting how they tie this whole thing back to Hayek's ideas about fear and control.
Oh, yeah. That's a key part of their argument.
They're basically saying that when people are afraid and feel hopeless, they're more likely to accept authoritarian solutions.
Exactly. They become more willing to give up their freedoms in exchange for security or the promise of a solution.
And they see the environmental movement as exploiting that fear.
That's right. They argue that environmentalists are intentionally stoking fear and panic about climate change in order to push their agenda.
Which is to gain control.
Ultimately, yes. That's their claim.
It's a lot to think about, isn't it?
It is. There's a lot to unpack there.
So where does that leave us then? What are we supposed to take away from all of this?
Well, I think the most important takeaway is that we need to be critical thinkers.
Yeah, we can't just accept everything we hear at face value.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to something as complex as climate change.
Exactly. We need to be willing to engage with different perspectives, to look at the evidence, to weigh the pros and cons.
And to form our own conclusions.
Absolutely. It's about thinking for ourselves and not letting fear or ideology dictate our beliefs.
That's a great point. And I think it's especially important for us here in Deer Park, La Porte, Pasadena.
Oh, gee.
You know?
Why do you say that?
Well, because we're right in the heart of the energy industry.
Right.
So we're going to be directly impacted by any policies related to climate change.
Absolutely.
So we need to be informed and engaged citizens. We need to understand the issues and make our voices heard.
Yeah, and that means being willing to listen to different perspectives, even those that we might not agree with.
Exactly. Because only then can we have a productive dialogue and come up with solutions that work for everyone.
It's about finding that balance, you know, between protecting the environment and protecting our freedoms.
Right. And I think that's a challenge that we're all going to have to face in the years to come.
It is a challenge, but it's one that we can't afford to ignore.
Well said. Well said. So if you're listening to this and you're feeling a little overwhelmed by all of this,
I wouldn't blame you.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in, but don't despair.
No, don't despair.
There's still hope.
There is.
And there's still things that we can do to make a difference.
Absolutely.
You know, start by getting informed, talk to your friends and family, get involved in your community.
Exactly. Small actions can have a big impact.
And if you want to support the work that we're doing here at the Think and Act Locally, you can always visit our website, thinkandactlocally.com/donate.
The link will be in the show notes.
We appreciate your support.
We do.
And until next time, keep thinking and acting locally.
And we'll see you on the next deep dive.
Everybody. If you find value in what we do, consider supporting our work at thinkandactlocally.com/donate. The link is in the show notes.
We appreciate your support. And until next time, keep thinking and acting locally. We'll see you on the next deep dive.
Bye, everybody.